We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. Very small margin. Ava, let me ask you something about that, because the margin, they're going to the absentee ballots right now. And that's like, if I remember right, the absentee ballots are like inside of 3,000. This race is like hundreds off, isn't it? It's about a few hundred or something.
I think it was like, yeah, it was like 100 votes the last time I heard, but
100, it's down to 100. Wow.
But you have to understand who votes absentee, okay?
Right.
People like me, who are very conservative. I already know I love Donald Trump, and I know I will choose his candidate. So those are usually the ones that vote early.
You say that, like, when you say, I will choose his kid, it's almost like you said, like, I will have his baby when you say it that way. I'm wondering, is that, it's like, you're very loyal to him. Is that the deal here? All right.
I love him. I love the man. And I, you know, I was a never Trumper. I'll disclose this up front,
right,
you know, in the very beginning, but I have absolutely learned to love him in his awkward, you know, bumbling ways at times, because right, he's just a man learning all the dirty business of politics.
Yeah.
and I'll tell you, it's not easy.
No, I mean, this is a hot fire up there. It's a hot fired mess is what it is in Washington. Jim, I want to ask you, Ava has admitted from the beginning, she was a never Trumper. There were a lot of them out there, actually, in both parties. Was you ever at the point of being a never Trumper? And what do you think of the president, the job he's doing?
I don't think you could have paid me enough to vote for Hillary Trump, Hillary Clinton. So I was always in Trump's corner. You know, when he initially announced, I thought, who is this guy? You know, and then the more I listened to him, the more I warmed up to what he had to say. I think his presidency is like tossing a grenade in the swamp. And I applaud it. Every time he does something strange and people get upset about a tweet, or they get upset about some offhand comment he makes, I think it's largely because he hasn't cleared it already with the Beltway intelligentsia. You know, he hasn't worked it out to where, you know, I took media training when I was working for the agency and some other folks, and they, you know, they have, you know, what questions do you want my three talking points, to ask me?
Right.
Because they have these talking points and they don't deviate from them, and Trump's not like that.
Yeah, so that's his appeal. What Jim has just put out there is really what the appeal of Donald Trump is. But the difference is, a lot of people from the far side of the other aisle can't really understand that. They don't understand what is Trump. You know, you gave me a big scare there, Jim, when you said Hillary Trump. I thought maybe I missed a news bulletin or something. I was wondering about that. A little worried for a moment there, but yeah. Oh, boy, we haven't seen that story yet, but the way they're coming out with Stormy, you just never know where Hillary falls into this. Okay, boy, that would be quite a sight, wouldn't it? Let me get back to that Pennsylvania congressional race here for a moment. So let me read you a few tweets on this. This thing is razor, razor thin. Now, you got to remember, now, Eva, I know you go with whatever Trump is like him, but this Republican candidate is definitely a frumpy guy. I mean, he's definitely frumpy compared to the other dude, the conservative Democrat. I mean, if you put them side by each, I mean, you have to admit that much at least, right? I mean, they got a good candidate.
Yeah, but look at Trump when he ran against, you know, there were 17 candidates, okay?
True.
And you had all kinds of young guys that were smart, brilliant, and, you know, we had, you know, Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, a handsome young man, you know, and all these people. But I love the word that was just used, Beltway intelligentsia, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
When I heard that word, that's exactly true. Trump is not part of that. And that's what makes him so perfect, you know, right. And he's doing the right thing. He chose this guy, okay, this Saccone. I don't even know if I'm saying his name right.
Saccone.
He wasn't exactly, you know, like you said, he's not some great, handsome candidate. Right. But here's the thing. He supports President Trump's agenda.
Right, right.
So, you know, you got to go with that.
Well, I hear you. I mean, you got to have the support. There's no question of Congress, or you really got nothing as far as
now.
Being
here's the really pathetic thing about the Democrat candidate. Okay,
be gentle
he had
now.
He had to fake being a Republican to win. All right, wrap your head around that.
Now,
for a second.
Well, hold on. When you say that, now, let's be clear. I mean, can he? Do we always have to have the same positions politically of the party we associate with, or can we have different political positions?
I don't migrate very far from my principles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jim, what do you think about that? Because this guy has some very unusual positions for a Democrat. You're not see the Democrat Party now has gone so far over to the far, far left, you can't very well see them anymore. And so here this guy comes along in really a Republican territory, and he has a lot of views and visions, which is pretty brilliant of the Democrats to put this guy up there, quite frankly, Jim. What do you think?
Well, I think if he was in JFK's time, he would have been the ordinary Democrat.
That's right.
Pro-life, he's for lower taxes, you know, he's pro-gun. If those things are true, and he votes that way,
right.
The concern that I have about a Democrat who expresses many of the same values that I have,
right,
is that when he gets to Congress, what's going to happen is Pelosi and that crew, or yeah, whoever it is that he happens to be the leader, will force that person to vote as a block for the Democrats, because they don't allow individual representatives to bog their conscience. You know, they coerce them into voting as a bloc. So I think the thing that makes him attractive is that he is so much like a number of Republicans, if that's true.
If it's true.
Right? I don't think that's going to matter.
You bring up a valid point,
Jim. But the Republicans have to do a better job of putting candidates out there who are as at least attractive as the Democrats that are running against them.
Well, you set that up really well. Obviously, the Democrats are going to try to use this and pin the tail on Trump with this one. They're going to say it's his failure, what have you. And of course, if you look really and you study this race, the bottom line is this. This guy was further apart just days ago before Trump even got to that territory. So I don't buy that for a hot second. And he was 4, 5, 6 points down in many of the polls. If he brought them back to neck and neck, you got to credit some of that to Trump's coattails there, you know. But anyways, we'll come back to this race, because there's some really funny tweets I want to read you all and stuff, and that race isn't going anywhere. Let me also bring to some of the other news going on today here. Wow, Theresa May, she is hot. The prime minister, I was watching her speech this morning to Parliament, and she was really pissed. She expelled 23 Russian diplomats. This is about the poisoning, this is like the old days of, this is a James Bond thriller is what this is.
And Boris and Natasha.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing a real life deal here in 2018 of Putin is really something else. He's getting to be very, very colorful. We're going to get more into that. We'll get Dr. Jim Mitchell's thoughts on this story as well as Ava as well. We'll come back to that. Also, big story again is, as everyone, big news of the week really, is Tillerson. The firing of Tillerson, which I think many of us kind of knew it was going to happen at some point, just as we know it's probably going to happen with Jeff Sessions as well at some point. But Tillerson is out, and who's taking his place, Ava?
Me. So Mike Pompeo.
Yeah.
Yes.
I could have put Jim on the spot. He'd have done the same thing. But anyways, it's Mike Pompeo is...
And I love him. I love him.
Yeah, he's very interesting. Well, there's great chemistry. You know, that relationship, we were talking the other day, Jim, about that relationship. And Pompeo and Trump could have the sort of very interesting relationship that Kissinger and Nixon had. You see, it's really good when you don't have a lot of daylight between the Secretary of State and the President. That's a vital position for any administration. Do you like Mike Pompeo, Jim, for this role?
I do. I liked him as the director of the CIA, you know, and I like him for this role, too. I think there are pluses and minuses to not much daylight. And the plus thing is, of course, that he's not going to be as wishy-washy as Tillerson was on North Korea and on the Iran nuclear deal.
Yeah, big time.
And on some of the other issues that are coming up, which we'll probably really talk about later.
Yeah.
The bad part about it is that when people are in positions of power, sometimes they need someone who thinks a little bit different than them that they consider all the perspectives before they make their decision. But I think there's enough professionals in the State Department that that'll come across.
Yeah.
And I know that Pompeo will listen.
I agree with what you say, Jim, but in the role of Secretary of State, I think it's a little different animal for me. And the fact that Tillerson didn't agree on any of these things was a real problem for the president. I mean, this is really the spokesman for the world that's meeting with all these leaders around the world. It's a vital, vital position. That's one role that I think is a little different, but I agree with your premise typically. And I think Trump subscribes to that as an executive, as a CEO theory, that he likes to bring different viewpoints to the table. I love that. I love that in life. That you
let me be clear. The president establishes the foreign policy, and the Secretary of State's task is to carry out the president's wishes.
Well, you think
with respect to foreign policy.
But if Tillerson is not on the same page, that doesn't always happen, Jim.
Exactly.
You know, because that's a problem. So that's what I mean. That's
the
an area.
Yeah, the reports were that he was slow rolling military options, that he was making concessions that Trump hadn't agreed with, those sorts of things. And, you know, you're going to be gone if you're doing that.
Exactly. Well, let me just tell folks just a couple of the fast things, and then we've got to introduce everybody here. Gina Haspel, the CIA deputy director, she now becomes, the CIA director. She will now take the role of that, if confirmed. Now, there's some questions, obviously. She's been accused again with the waterboarding thing comes up, torture. Certainly, Dr. Jim Mitchell will have some thoughts and advice for us on that on the show today. Today is also hashtag National Walkout Day. And this is in relation to Parkland, Florida, and the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School massacre. And schools around the country are walking out to bring, this is all about gun control. And
this is pissing me off. I want to talk about that. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, this is going to be a big story. We'll definitely be talking about this today as well. Jeff Sessions is mulling the firing of the FBI Director Andrew McCabe. And there are many of us who are elated to hear this. Andrew McCabe is a leech, and he should be thrown out on his ass, basically, is what I would say to you there. Not giving you a strong opinion today, but that's exactly how I feel. Another big news story this afternoon, Larry Kudlow, you know him? He was on the CNBC, I believe, yeah? And he will be the next director replacing Gary Cohn of the National Economic Council. This is a big story. Some people are happy. Not everybody is happy. Also, sadly today, Stephen Hawking has died at the age of 76. What a life. What a man. You look back at his life, friends, and you look back. He only had 2 years to live back when he was in his 20s. And the man is 76. Wow. What a life, I got to tell you here. There's a lot more going on here, too, that is trending today, including the happiest place in the world. I'll tell you what that is a little bit later in the show here. Let's take just a moment here, and let me introduce you here today. Dr. Jim Mitchell here, Dr. James Mitchell. And Dr. Mitchell, why don't you take 15 seconds to tell folks a little bit about yourself, please.
Okay, well, I served as an interrogator for the CIA from August of 2002. 2009 when Obama fired us on his first day in office when he shut the program down. And I interrogated and actually waterboarded all the people that the CIA waterboarded and interrogated another 13 or 14 high-level Al-Qaeda terrorists or Al-Qaeda associates. And I have a PhD in clinical psychology. Spent 22 years in the military. Joined the military as a bomb disposal specialist. Got interested in what kind of creeps put together improvised explosives devices. Went off, got a PhD in psychology. Came back in.
Wow.
And in addition to that, I'm a law enforcement trained hostage negotiator. I served on a hostage negotiation team. Consulted with all sorts of military counterterrorist units. That sort of stuff. So I have a fair amount of background in the weaponization of psychology.
Well, you have had just an incredible career, and it continues on, and we're always delighted. We've had you on Viewpoint this Sunday. It's good to have you on Nozzle today with us. I appreciate you exploring all the lanes of the news. I know you don't normally do that, so thanks very much, Dr. Mitchell, for doing that and being here today with us. And, of course, we have the great Ava Armstrong with us today. Ava, take 14 seconds, folks, and tell folks who you are, please.
Oh, I'm blushing after listening to him talk. He's one of my heroes.
There you go.
I write novels about guys.
You need
like
better
you.
Standards.
Better standards, he says. Where's your standards, Ava? Come on.
I'm a novel writer. I write thrillers, and I write suspense and romance, and I have two children's series, and I'm on Amazon, and I also produce on America Out Loud, and I enjoy being on Nozzle and talking with people like you.
Well, listen, big show ahead today, friends. More Nozzle, just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
All right, so I want to circle back, guys. I want to talk about this Pennsylvania congressional race for just a moment here. I mean, we sort of know. At this point, I think it's going to go to Lamb. Unless you tell me, Ava, that the absentee votes are going to swing this thing back. Let me just read you a couple of tweets here from folks. A tweet from Mike Zolo says, "Liberals are in for a rude awakening in the midterms. Yes, Lamb the Sham won." You see, they're already saying that on Twitter. "But notice he went against Nancy Pelosi, touting Trump's tariffs and some of his policies. The Democrat agenda will not win in 2018. Trump's agenda will, and the Trump voter needs to stop being lazy." Now, the key of what he says here, Jim and Ava, is the Trump voter needs to stop being lazy. We'll circle back on that in a moment, because that's what happens with midterm races. They get lazy, and the opposing party generally can make up the ground. It's, again, it's a psychological thing that people tend to do. Another tweet from Thomas Hearn. He said, "Let's be honest, regardless of the outcome of the election, Trump won this district by 20%, and the outcome is not a good sign. Republicans, if we don't turn out and vote, 2018 is going to be a disaster. This should be a wake-up call to every Republican in America." And you start to see some of these tweets, and you can see that the real political followers are nervous, guys. Another tweet from Stonewall Jackson. "Win or lose, I think the GOP should take Pennsylvania as a wake-up call." And see, a lot of them are saying this now. Another one from Laurie Hendry. "Dear God, you brought us this far. Don't abandon us now. We need more warriors to help Trump accomplish make America great again." So I got to tell you, even Guy Benson. Now, I know you like Guy Benson, Ava, and he had some things. He's kind of an odd political fellow many times. He says, "I see my analysis has upset some of you. But look, I'm not going to go on TV and serve up the lame spin you may prefer to hear. Regardless of the outcome, an effectively tied race in a deep red district, despite GOP spending huge resources, is a really worrisome sign." Well, it is if everything was equal, but it's not equal. Jim, looking at this race in Pennsylvania, and you hear some of the tweets and the people that, you know, now we know the media is going to spin this pretty hard one way, Jim. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They're going to be pinning this on Trump all, you'll hear this for days and days ahead. The echoes will be all over the place. What's your size up of the Pennsylvania race at this point?
Well, I think we'd be in more trouble if it wasn't that, if it was Pelosi's agenda that he had ran on. I mean, they're going to assume that, as you I think rightfully said, they're going to assume that any Democrat that runs is going to win. And I just don't think that's true. And I also think that in a lot of cases, at least in this particular case, what you're going to see is he could have lost and it would be a bad sign for Trump. Because what they're going to do is they're going to try to frame the narrative in a way that suppresses the turnout, right? So, you know, essentially what the Democrats are going to try to do is they're going to try to say there's no point in you conservatives turning out to vote for any of the, you know, nominees that would support Trump because, you know, you're losing, it's overwhelming, we're in control of this. And I think that that's just wrongheadedness. It is very close. It's essentially a tie.
It's razor thin.
And yeah, it's down to a flip of a coin almost.
Yeah, it is so indeed. Yeah. Well, the key at this point, Jim, is going to be the absentee votes. Clearly, which way they go. Ava, what's the last word on this race? What do you think?
I think there's been some voter fraud too. There's been reports of buses bringing in, voters, and a lot of these voters haven't been checked out and. Mm-hmm. You know, this really infuriates me because our voting policies are so, you know, lax, really lax. And we've got to stop that.
Yeah. Well, there are reports, there are multiple reports, including the bus story. I've seen those today and what have you with voter fraud. How much do you think, Jim, real quickly, how much do you think the voter fraud is happening? You think that's a real problem or you think it's just being over-talked to the media? Or is there some truth to it?
We used to have this joke in my family that my grandmother, who was a Democrat, voted often for multiple candidates even after she died. I think the problem is there is voter fraud, and we like to pretend but the fraud is in the open. It's in this notion where they don't require ID. You know, we live in a world where you can't cash a welfare check or even get cash a normal paycheck without a driver's license, and yet people can walk into some polling places and vote without, you know, and register at the time.
That's right.
And those votes can count. Let me just finish for just a second. I think that voting fraud is a real possibility that ought to be explored, and they ought to be sure that every vote that should be counted is counted, but those votes that shouldn't are thrown out.
Well, the voter fraud thing is something, and the ID thing is a real problem for me as well. It's hard to really understand how we're not taking IDs at the voting booth. I mean, I don't really get that, how that even works.
I mean, think about this for a second. Think about this.
Right.
In Afghanistan, they dip their fingers in purple ink.
Right.
We don't even do that.
No. The whole thing, we're spending so much time and money worried about Russia. It has dawned on me in recent days that we ought to be concerned with the basic necessities here. And if we can get our own program right and avoid the voter fraud, that would be a good thing. One of the other problems we've been reporting on in recent weeks, guys, is California. What's the voting fraud out there? When you look at, you know, the popular vote and all the votes Hillary got out of California, the illegal voting out there is in the millions. Because, again, it's an honor system. You just have to check a box. So you're basically asking a criminal to check a box. With this driver's license business, which is just nothing but a joke. So clearly it's going to be a problem here. I think Lamb is going to end up being called the winner unless those absentee votes can do some magic, but it's not looking real good right now. The AP has not called this yet, but it could happen any moment here, so we'll see. Listen, the other big one I want to talk to you about here today is British Prime Minister Theresa May. Boy, she was infuriated. She came out and she expelled 23 Russian diplomats, giving them 1 week to leave in response to the poisoning of the former Russian spy now and his daughter that are living in southwest England. She comes out and she says, this guy's, this is the prime minister speaking now, she says, either this was a direct attack against Russia, against our country, or conceivably the Russian government could have lost control of a military-grade nerve agent and allowed it to get into the hands of others. It was right to allow Russia to give an explanation, but their response, Mr. Secretary, has demonstrated complete disdain for the gravity of these events. They have given no explanation. and as to why they're being used. It goes on, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I wrote some of this down from her actual video. As to why they're in the UK, she says, instead, Russia, they have treated the use of a military-grade nerve agent in Europe with sarcasm, contempt, and defiance. Now, so here's what she's done now. She came out, and I want to play, before you guys comment on it, let me play this quick video clip, if I can here. And this is her response. It's pretty quick here. Let's listen to her.
It is essential that we now come together with our allies to defend our security, to stand up for our values, and to send a clear message to those who would seek to undermine them. This morning I chaired a further meeting of the National Security Council, where we agreed immediate actions to dismantle the Russian espionage network in the UK, urgent work to develop new powers to tackle all forms of hostile state activity, and to ensure that those seeking to carry out such activity cannot enter the UK, and additional steps to suspend all planned high-level contacts between the United Kingdom and the Russian Federation. Let me start with the immediate actions. Mr. Speaker, the House will recall that following the murder of Mr. Litvinenko, the UK expelled four diplomats. Under the Vienna Convention, the United Kingdom will now expel 23 Russian diplomats who have been identified as undeclared intelligence officers.
Wow.
They have just 1 week to leave. This will be the single biggest expulsion for over 30 years, and it reflects the fact that this is not the first time that the Russian state has acted against our country. Through these expulsions, we will fundamentally degrade Russian intelligence capability in the UK for years to come.
Wow.
And if they seek to rebuild it, we will prevent them from doing so.
Well, you clearly don't want to piss this lady off, Dr. Mitchell. She was not happy, and I watched her entire production or speech to Parliament there, and they are really taking this quite seriously. What is Vladimir Putin? It seems like we're just, this guy is like out of control lately. What is your take on this?
Well, I think she's dead on when she says either they lost control of it or, you know, somebody in his intelligence agency has authorized the killing of these double agent, this double agent and his daughter. You know, when I was a bomb squad guy, I was taught to disarm chemical weapons, including nerve gas weapons, and that stuff is nothing to mess with. I mean, it will kill you dead right now because right. It disrupts the way your cells communicate with your organs, and they'll just shut down. And you just can't have, whether it's you know, a wink and a nod to the Russian mafia or a Russian government sponsored attack inside of the country.
Exactly.
And I think she's right to exclude those people. And if those folks are case officers disguised as diplomats, mm-hmm. who are running assets inside of England, then she's right. It is going to disrupt their intel process for quite some time, and no wonder he's pouting.
Yeah. She's she reminds me in a lot of ways when she responds that way, Ava. When I love to watch her when she's furious and she's really ripping mad. She reminds me of many ways as Margaret Thatcher when she used to be pissed. She'd come out and she was just hysterical to watch. I see some of those signs every now and then in Theresa May. I'm not exactly comparing her to Miss Thatcher, but in that regard, I find it quite entertaining. What do you think about this Russia story?
Well, I think it's a very serious event, and I think it took them quite by surprise. And I think as they delved into exactly who from Russia was in the country,
right.
I think it became a little bit surprising. It's kind of like us. If we look around in our country, I'm sure we can find some nefarious candidates there to expel. I was surprised she even gave them a week. I wouldn't have given them that.
Yeah, maybe. So they can pick up their belongings and leave and don't let the door, you know, hit you in the ass. But, I think there's a protocol in place probably. But I hear you. But there is some protocol in place. The thing is with Putin, he continues to get more isolated and more isolated around the globe. And I just wondering what the end game is for him. He seems like he's ticked off about everybody. And it's really unfortunate because I was hoping there would be, you know, I don't know about you, Jim, but when Trump took office, before all this Russia disease started in this country, I was thinking that there could be a chance because Trump was so open-minded and because the administration previously did such a horrible job with that reset button and all of that, that was an absolute joke around the globe. I was actually hoping that Trump would have an opportunity to fix the relationship with Russia. But I think at this point, the two-party system here and the Democrats have made sure that that's not going to happen, huh?
Well, it depends on what you mean by fix, because, you know, Russia is not our ally, and there are competitors on the world market, at least in terms of power and prestige. Mm-hmm. And so if by fix you mean that we're in their corner and
let me explain to you what I mean by fix. No, I'm talking about the old saying that Sun Tzu would say, keep your enemies closer than your friends, in fact. No, I mean bring them to the table and have a real conversation. I could see that that could have happened on the watch with Trump and Putin. But what I'm saying is that's what I mean by fixed. No, we'll never have the same belief system. I mean, that's pretty clear. But I'm talking about commonality. There are a lot of things that we have in common around the globe, Jim, that we could do together.
Right. And where I was going to go with that is that I think that we can share commonality with them in the sense of fighting some terrorists and doing some other kinds of things, helping them control the spread of, you know, any sort of nuclear weapons and that sort of stuff. But we also shouldn't be surprised if they take advantage of the situation to disrupt us and our foreign policy as much as they can, because that's what they do for a living. That's what they do. He's an ex-KGB guy, and so he's going to run his country like he was running an intelligence operation.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's doing exactly that. You're right. His stripes will not change very clearly. Listen, let's talk about this, the big, big news here of, first of all, Pompeo, who now will become the Secretary of State if he is confirmed. There is talk that they're going to give him a hard time. Now, I have a hard time imagining when they, you know, if you're going to be CIA director and you're going to go through the credentials needed to be CIA director, and then they're going to stop you from being Secretary of State. I don't really comprehend that. I mean, it's a stretch to me to think that they could stop that. But there's a lot of talk about that. But even more so, I want to talk to you today, too, about Gina Haspel and the CIA deputy director. Again, this is she's a senior policy person and from the CIA's been there. They like her. She's well regarded in these circles. And she is also, there's a lot of talk there that they're going to stop her or try to stop her again based on these interrogation things here. Hey, before we get to, I know Jim will have a lot to say about that. Ava, talk to me on your thoughts here, first of all, about Pompeo and the Secretary of State, and then with Gina Haspel taking the new role as CIA director. How do you think this goes? Will the Senate have to confirm this, or do you think that your opinion on that, you think that they're going to, you know, hold one of these back?
I don't think they can stop Pompeo. I really don't. He's a very impressive guy, and I don't think he's done anything and made any missteps that they could even, you know, call him on. The only thing they can do with her is, well, they might do this with him too, is complain about the waterboarding, mm-hmm. you know, that, and which was fairly minimal. I mean, come on. And I will tell you a little secret. I have played waterboarding, okay, because I've written about this.
You've played it with your husband, you mean?
I played it. We went down by the lakeside and we, you know, laid down and on a log and took a, you know, a towel and put it over one another.
Wait a minute. Is this one of your sexual fantasies? You mean you did with your husband out at the oceans? Oh my golly.
It's at the lake, but no, I mean, you know, it is kind of weird. It's a weird feeling, but if you know how to breathe and how to inhale and stop breathing and exhale and stop breathing, there is a method to it. Okay.
Right.
And I know it sounds really crazy.
I can't believe you're admitting this on the radio here on the show with Dr. Mitchell on here. It's hysterical. That's funny.
I did it because, well, he's a psychology major, so he knows why I did it as a writer. Uh-huh. I had to have some kind of idea of the panic that goes through the human body for that moment. And then how you cope with it, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know. I think waterboarding is not torture. I think it kind of shocks a person, and it can wear you out because your breathing becomes very irregular very quickly, and you hold your breath a lot. And I think that it's a form of coercion, I would call it, but not torture.
Okay.
I write about torture in my novels that would blow your mind, okay? I'm talking like, you know, really, really, you know,
inflicting severe, serious pain,
okay?
Right? So just like Ava would do, I'll give you that, you little bastard.
That's right.
I don't, man, you are too funny there. Imagine that, Jim, being a novel writer, that she can just, you know, have her wildest visions and put it in a book. I mean, you could be so, only be so blessed, huh? All right, so tell me, you hear Ava describe that. It's quite fascinating. What's your take on that, Jim? What do you think about
What she did?
I know.
Well, you know, I was waterboarded myself. The difference was I was waterboarded by professionals.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, and it is slightly different. And you're right. It is uncomfortable, and the experience sucks. And you know, you have to deal with it. But whether I thought it was torture or Ava thought it was torture, the important point is that the highest law enforcement agency in the land, the Department of Justice, didn't think it was torture. And in fact, at the time that the enhanced interrogation program was in play from 2002 to 2009, the Attorney General knew about the program, knew about the details of what had occurred in the program, and judged that it was that it wasn't torture, and in fact, it was legal. And if you follow on from that to when Obama took place, you know, Obama was not a fan of that program. He assigned, Holder assigned us. First thing Holder did was stack the Justice Department with attorneys who were sympathetic to the terrorists who were trying to kill us, and then launched an investigation to see whether or not anyone had been tortured in the course of that program. This was after he had finished the videotape investigation. And the conclusion was, there was no case to be made, even though there were a couple of people that I thought went too far and should have been and were referred to the Justice Department at the time. So to come back, let me tell you, as long as I got the floor, what I would say. And it's something that I said today on Fox News, and I'll say again if I get the chance. That EIP program was the policy. It came from the highest levels of the government. Mm-hmm. There were hundreds of people involved. It was operated at the direction of the president. The National Security Council consented to it. The attorney general judged that it wasn't torture. It was fully briefed to Congress. And none of those hundreds of people who were involved, whether it's Brennan or someone else, should be held to a different standard than was in place at the time, particularly when that standard is being gerrymandered to rewrite history, because the information that came out of that program disrupted plots and saved lives. So my guess about Gina Haspel is, I can't confirm or deny that she was even part of that program, but if she becomes the CIA director, she's going to follow the law that's on the books now.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You can't reach into a dark room at the CIA and turn on a light switch without poking two lawyers in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So that is
exactly. Exactly.
And again, as long as I got a couple more seconds, America is going to be safer with Gina Haspel as CIA director.
Right, right.
She has 30-something years. She has deep institutional knowledge. Mm-hmm. She's smart. And let me tell you one of the reasons she's going to be capable. You know, as an ordinary American, I don't want our intelligence agencies participating in political shenanigans. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she's going to do that.
Right,
you know,
right.
If he wants a nonpartisan CIA director, he's smart to appoint her rather than some politician or political hack who helped him raise money.
Right.
You know, she's going to tell him what's going on based on the best available intelligence and not filter it through a partisan lens to try to get a better job or to make them happy.
Jim, is Trump really has a very good relationship with her. She has really impressed the administration over the past year. That's very important as well. You need a real good top soldier at the top of that CIA. She is so well respected. I'm with you. They're going to do everything they can to make this as murky as they can and delay and you know, just really drag this thing along, which is unfortunate because it stops progress in our country. If these politicians would put the country first when it comes to these kinds of things and decisions and nominations, we'd be that much further off, better off. I want to say one thing about this here waterboarding stuff, since you brought it up, Ava, and Dr. Mills was talking about this as well, and it's this. I know for me, and I know I can speak for a lot of Americans, and it's this. Whether it is torture or whether it isn't torture, we really are perfectly good with it. If you're trying to blow up and kill tens of thousands of people or poison cities or these sort of terrorist acts and you're trying to kill us all, we are perfectly okay if it is, whether it is or isn't, we're perfectly okay with whatever you do to these cats. Torture or no torture, you know what? Most Americans would say, have had it. Go ahead. Do what you got to do, man. And that's exactly what I would say about that. So I don't really give a rat's ass whether it's torture or not. Do what you want. Pull their nails off and pull them by the hair. And you say that's uncivilized? Tough shit. More nozzle in a minute. Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Okay, one of the other big stories trending today, National Walkout Day. So this is Parkland, Florida, Stoneman Douglas High School, the shooting. So this has sort of been organized now from what I read, Ava, somewhere. I think the ladies with the vagina hats have organized this one as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, and the ACLU is involved in it, too. They're advising these kids that might get detention, how they can sue the school and, you know, make sure the detention doesn't have to be served. I mean, this is such bullshit.
No detention for
what? I can't believe it. For taking a day off from school.
I see. This is the softer, kinder, gentler approach. Is that it?
Oh, no. We have fallen so, so far. I mean, this is awful. It really is. Well, I mean, kids aren't in school or not. They're not in school enough already, okay?
Right.
So it may be a blessing in disguise because if they're not sitting in school, with liberal teachers pissing in their ear about how bad America is, then at least their little marshmallows aren't being filled with lies. You know, I'd rather they march around with a sign than sit in a classroom where they're told that the founding fathers of the United States were racist who should have been put in jail.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that pisses me off so much, though. They're actually protesting the Second Amendment, okay? They don't even understand why we have the Second Amendment. They should be protesting Obama's Promise Program, which is what created this mess in Florida.
Right.
They don't even understand that.
Yeah. Tell folks real fast, Ava, what the Promise Program is so everybody understands it, because we covered this on Viewpoint on the network.
It's basically a federal program that was created by Barack Obama, and Eric Holder, another surprise, and Arne Duncan, another surprise. And there's a guy in Florida who's, you know, at Parkland School's school department. They got $54 million. And what the program is, it's called the Promise Program. And that is so the school will not discipline any kids that are acting out or violent or doing things. And the police department has to also abide by this same thing. They can't arrest the kid or give him a record or anything, no matter what he does.
Well, there was too much.
We want to reduce the pipeline from school to prison.
Yeah, the numbers were too high for ethnicities. And so what Obama and Holder looked at it and they tried to say, OK, there's got to be a problem here. They use some psychology in play to say, OK, maybe we do this or this and we give them passes. So this kid had nothing on his record, this murderer killer down there who, by the way, has been now subject to the death sentence, which by far he should definitely get the death sentence and then some. In a town square somewhere is what I'd like to see. We got to start setting these people as an example. I mean, or this thing continues to happen.
There are 50-something, I can't remember the number, there are 50-something school systems and police departments throughout the country, okay, that are participating in this program.
Right.
And they're usually big urban areas, all right?
Always.
So stop and think for a second. How many more of these
a lot kids. Of kids out there. That's a great point, Ava. There are a lot of killers like this killer that are percolating out there right now in the public, and that's a problem. And the guy that you mentioned in Broward County, who heads up the Broward County school program, if I remember correctly from the top of my mind, it was Runcie. I don't know if it was Robert Runcie or Runcie. He was the dude that ran it in Chicago. He ran all of that stuff in Chicago. And as soon as you say Chicago, Jim, you know where Chicago is going, and you know the problems they're having there. But that's the whole problem with this thing. The Second Amendment is the real big story here that continues to just really be at such odds in this country, Jim. Jim, do you honestly think, do you worry so much? I mean, with when things like this happen, like at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School there, how honored and protected do you think the Second Amendment is? Or do you wake up in the morning? Do you worry about it? Do you think it's in danger?
Well, I think that it's going to be attacked constantly, but I think that it's part of our culture, it's part of our heritage, and it would be very difficult to get rid of it. President Trump, when he tweeted about getting rid of AR-15s or whatever it was, making it more difficult to buy them, backtracked a little bit afterwards because it's such an inherent part of our country. You know, when I was a kid, I'm 66 years old, right? So when I was a kid, I grew up on a farm. We had guns all the time. I mean, from the time that I could walk, I could hunt. And I don't think the problem is the gun. I think the problem is the character of the person carrying the gun. Mm-hmm. And what we've done is we've quit teaching people respect. In fact, I can remember going to school and seeing boys, bigger boys, pick up trucks with guns in racks in the back, and the truck's not locked. And nobody really thought anything of it. So it is the case.
Can't do that now.
It is the case that as we start teaching people that it's not equality of opportunity, it's equality of outcome that matters, and that if you don't have everything you want anytime you want it, then you've got a reason to go, apeshit and shoot a lot of people. The other thing I would say that is, I think, not being said about this lockout is, since when do we want to turn over American policy to 16-year-olds?
Need something. We do need to fix something. Something's broken.
Yeah, you know what we need? We need a reverse promise program, okay? Mm-hmm. We need to flip that on its head. Mm-hmm. Because we don't need to give these guys a free friggin' pass. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is grab them and pull them aside and get them involved with law enforcement.
Right, right.
Get them a record, okay? And say, look, buddy, let's give you a tour of the prison and show you what your next step will be,
right?
Okay?
Some of you know I am a clinical psychologist, and I have actually tried to put people who are homicidal and suicidal risks and alert other people to the, to the threats and that sort of stuff. And the professionals are pinned in, usually because of state laws and patients' rights. And I'm not advocating that there not be any patients' rights, but the only time that I could actually call the sheriff's department, who you had to call, and involuntarily have someone, here I think they called it the Baker Act or whatever they call it, I can't remember, if that person was sitting across from me saying, I'm going to get up out of your office, go home and kill myself or kill someone else. And if you did it anything other than under those circumstances, that person could sue you for violating the Americans with Disability Act. you got, there are issues that are there that need to be addressed, but you can't, you know, you can't, the professionals didn't exactly drop the ball as much as they're pinned in by current laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this story will not end. This story will continue onward. And until we find a national answer to a major problem, it's going to continue on. I want to talk here about Jeff Sessions next year, mulling the firing of FBI Deputy Andrew McCabe, who, as you know, was scheduled to retire early. I believe it was this coming Sunday he was going to retire. Reports are now that Jeff Sessions is looking to fire him, which is quite a story that is trending this afternoon, Ava. Ava, I was surprised to see this. It looks like Sessions is all of a sudden growing a set, huh?
Oh, God, I hope so. I have been so frustrated. You have no idea. Well, you probably do have some idea.
I have a little idea. You've expressed it.
Yeah, I have.
What do you think?
So. I would like to see McCabe in prison, and mm-hmm. These people need to be prosecuted, and I could go on, but I won't.
Yeah. What's your take on this, Jim? Any thoughts on him firing McCabe before he retires on Sunday?
Well, if the guy broke the law and he did those things that they claimed that he did, he should be fired. I would have been fired, you know.
Anybody would have been fired.
I did get fired, and I followed the law.
So. And you followed it, yeah.
Yeah, and, so... I don't have a problem with him being fired. And this notion that you allow people to do the kinds of things that he's alleged to have done and then mm-hmm. get out of it just by... I'll give you a real-life example. One of the people that won the CIA IG was leaking information about the Enhanced Interrogation Program when it was still a very closely held secret mm-hmm. to the press. When she was caught, she was allowed to retire rather than fire. And I don't think that sends the right message. I think the person should be fired.
Wow. All right. Well,
wow.
Yeah, it's the government's thing is they just put people in other positions. They don't. It's the strangest thing. I don't even know where this comes from, but they don't really like to fire people for whatever reason. So this gives them a license to just be total morons and just continue on being a moron. You never really learn your lesson in there. And listen, not everybody is happy here this afternoon with the Larry Kudlow thing here. And the president came out and offered the job as next director of the National Economic Council to Larry Kudlow. You seem to be happy, Ava, when we came on and we touched on that story. Some of the tweets I want to tell you here are hysterical. Larry Kudlow is a, I can't say the word, flippin', you can do your imagination, moron. and listen to this, I love this tweet here. Going from Gary Cohn to Larry Kudlow as top economic advisor is like, well, going from, I don't know, a movie starring a solid A-lister like Tom Hanks to a sequel starring Pauly Shore. Ridiculous, foolish, he lacks the credentials, temperament, and skills to do the job. What do you think, Ava?
I disagree with that. I think he has all of the skills to do the job. I listen to Larry Kudlow's radio show, so I enjoy listening to him. He's a very thoughtful guy. He's an older person.
Yeah,
I need to say that carefully.
I don't know. I haven't followed him a lot. He seems like I just haven't. But the reports on him, someone else put a tweet out, Ava, you love this. Larry Kudlow's $100,000 per month cocaine habit in 1994 would cost $167,000 today, adjusted for inflation.
I like Larry Kudlow's personality. I guess that's more.
Is it because he's on crack or because he's not on crack? I mean, which
no,
do you like him better
I,
with
he,
or without?
I don't believe he's on crack. I think he's a very interesting personality, and he seems very thoughtful. Every time I listen to him, I always enjoy his banter back and forth with different guests and his thought process. I think he's going to be great with Trump. I really do.
Well, if he's got that personality, sure. What do you think, Jim? Dr. Mitchell, you think that when's the last time you had dinner with Larry Kudlow? Tell us the scoop on it, will you?
I actually know virtually nothing about him. As long as he's not Keynesian, I'm okay with it.
That's a good point.
The problem is that a lot of the people who are screaming about his background are people who aren't exactly free market capitalists, and don't share some of the non-Keynesian ways of thinking about economics. Since I don't have I don't know enough about him to even say anything intelligent other than, I don't think Trump just reaches out into the space and, taps somebody on the shoulder.
Right. No. He obviously has the credentials. There's no doubt about that. The rest of it really is personality driven, that some like him, don't like him. But, it doesn't really matter who you put. Whoever you put into these roles and positions, you're pretty well always going to have half the country for them and half the country not for them. You're going to find people that call him a flipping moron and those who just love him, adore him, and think he's the most cuddly, cutest little teddy bear, like you said, Ava, that could possibly be crack or no crack. So that's just the way it is. Listen, let's take as we're winding down here in a few moments on Nozzle, I want to talk to you about Stephen Hawking in a moment here. Wow, what a story this is. This physicist that he was, this amazing scientist, died at the age of 76. Unbelievable. A tweet from the Prime Minister came out of the UK saying, Professor Stephen Hawking was a brilliant and extraordinary mind, one of the great scientist of this generation. His courage, humor, and determination to get the most from life was an inspiration. His legacy will not be forgotten. And the more tweets you read, now this is a guy who you don't see a lot of bad on. This, I say that a moment ago, that mostly the country's divided, but not with somebody like this. Another tweet from Tim Peake says, he inspired generations to look beyond our own blue planet and expand our understanding of the universe. His personality and genius will be sorely missed. My thoughts are with his family. Any thoughts from you guys, Ava, Jim, on Stephen Hawking?
I think he was brilliant, but I was fascinated with the fact that he could live a full life with ALS, and he was just very inventive. His mind was incredible.
Yeah, he had ALS. He was supposed to die in his 20s. They gave him 2 years to live. He lives till 76. The lesson in that, Jim, is never listen to the doctor.
I agree. I agree with that. Or don't give up on yourself. Keep trying. Because, he, like you said, he's a brilliant guy, and we are poor for not having his mind around to help us.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
True.
Yeah. So listen, I'm going to get to predictions now for time, but I don't have time to cover this dog that died on the United flight. They are nothing but putzes at United, I have to tell you. Here, they put him in the carry bin at the top there where you sit, and the dog died. And they're not supposed to. He was in the proper kennel and everything. Tell you more about that tomorrow. Also, the happiest place in the world is not the United States, by the way. It's Finland. The report has come out from the World Happiest Institute. There is a place that's called the Happiness Research Institute. You know, that'd be a place I wouldn't mind running, Ava. That'd be a job I'd like, the Happiness Research. Here he is now, Mr. Happy, the CEO. So, Jim, take 30 seconds, please, and give us your predictions. Dr. Jim Mitchell, go ahead.
Well, I think that regardless of which way that election turns out in Pennsylvania, the Democrats are going to say that we've lost. And they're going to go and continue with lots of doom and gloom about the economy while the economy continues to grow. I think Gina will eventually be confirmed, because if we don't, we'll be shooting ourselves in the foot. She is a true hero. And hopefully there'll be enough folks on the confirmation committee that realizes that if you're going to whine and scream about women not being put in positions of power, eventually you got to promote one, You got to let it happen.
I know.
They're the ones holding her back. So
yeah, it's a good point, Jim. I threw a tweet out there that said pretty much that yesterday. I'm sure the Democratic Party will be ecstatic at her nomination because they empower women, of course. I know that they'll be real happy. Ava Armstrong, what's your prediction?
I am predicting that President Trump will denuclearize North Korea. And I think it will be done sooner rather than later.
That is a good, interesting prediction. And if you watch a lot of what's happening in North Korea and a lot of the backstory, which we'll be talking about, by the way, we have a special presentation on Viewpoint this Sunday, this week, on North Korea, friends. You want to tune in for that. And there's some interesting backstory and information on one of the mountains there that is in a position to collapse, which would spew radiation throughout North Korea and China. So there are some other problems happening out there that you're not aware of. Listen, my prediction is, real simply, we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nozzle off.